Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
Good morning, everyone. It's time.
And Julie.
With Christly Confessions. Now, normally we start our morning kind of with a recap of how the morning has gone.
Yes.
But I get up this morning and I woke up at 3 o'clock because I knew that I had a special guest coming on today. And I was like so excited when I got this message from this person. And she said, you know, I have a Christmas album coming out. And I'd love for you to listen to it. Now, folks, I have been a fan of this woman forever. I mean, she taught me that there is an Arizona. So I want to let you all know that we have Jamie O'Neill this morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, you know, because now we've known each other for some time now. And I loved you long before you ever even knew who I was. And literally, your music I listened to all the time.
That's so sweet. Thank you.
And then Savannah met you the first time. And Savannah, because, you know, folks, listen, I talk about this generation gap that we have with these kids today, that they don't really know real country music. I mean, I don't feel like that. And I'm a huge fan of country music.
Or it starts in like...
It starts at 1998.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's what year I was going to say.
Yes, 1998.
Yeah.
And so literally, I have one child who is like the oldest soul in the world, and that is Grayson.
Yes.
And Grayson came to me yesterday and said, Dad, can I go to George Strait's concert when he comes here?
I love that.
I turned and looked at him and I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I will send his manager a text message.
And he's going on tour with Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton.
What a combo.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so I said, absolutely. But Grayson listens to George Jones, Conway Twitty, George Strait.
I love that.
And so I'm like, he's the one in our family that knows country music. But then going back to Savannah met you, I think it was at a Mexican restaurant the first time. Was it the Gulch?
I think we all met. We went to the restaurant after Ty's thing.
Yes.
We all met together at the same time.
Yes.
And then we all went to get something to eat.
Yes, that's right.
And that's no longer there, that place. Yeah.
Everything's changing.
I know.
And so Savannah, she goes, I don't know who that is. And I said, Savannah, don't even sit beside me. You're not even allowed to sit beside me if you say that you don't know who Jamie O'Neill is. Because Savannah's a huge country music fan.
Right.
And I mean, I used to give Savannah $1 for every country music song she could sing. So I would sit at the computer. That's when they had Napster, you know, at the beginning of when they started stealing all the royalties from the musicians. And I would sit and play the music for her. And I mean, like it was Miss Emily's Picture, you know, things like that, that she would learn every word to.
Yeah.
So they were raised with country music. And she goes home and she starts listening to your music. And she calls me that night and she goes, have you ever heard this song, There Is No Arizona? I said, that's not the only song she ever sang. Go listen to all of her music. So it was such, so now obviously she's a huge fan of yours, but going back.
Thank you for making her do that.
Because now I feel like I have expanded her
horizon
mm-hmm. and her knowledge of good music. Mm. But you know, we all have a lot here in Nashville. I think we all share a lot of the same friends. You're a huge friend with, you know, Jay DeMarcus, who's my best buddy. And you know, when you're in town, you know, Nashville is a small town. Mm. And it's getting bigger every day.
It's a small, big town.
Yes. It's getting it's getting bigger every day.
Yeah.
And I look at it and think, I really liked it a lot better 5 years ago.
Mm. Well, you should have been here 20
years ago. And I really liked
it
10 years ago a lot better than I did 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And because it just felt so, in those days, everything was still kind of unaffected by social media.
I feel like that way about so many cities, too. I mean, like Sedona, for instance, the first time I went there was so undeveloped, and you would see people that had just, like, discovered the town, but it wasn't commercial. And now when you go there, it's like, you know, there's far more hotels.
It's every other city.
It's busy. So it's like any place that's great. Like first time I went to 30A, I think, was back before I got married.
We raised our kids. You know, we had homes there in Seaside and then Watercolor.
And it's Seaside is completely changed.
It's commercial.
Not saying I don't love it, but not as much.
No, we don't either. And listen, we've had five or six homes there. And our kids grew up there all summer long, and every spring break and Thanksgiving, every holiday. We spent half of the year down in Seaside.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful place then.
Yeah.
But today, I mean, we were just down there. How so long has it been? Well, we're filming an episode.
Yeah, so it was like last summer.
Yeah, there was no privacy for us.
Yeah. Well, I remember before they even put in, like, Seaside was the only place.
Yes.
There wasn't Rosemary or Watercolor.
No.
When I used to go down there, and I just loved it. And I was like, this is so cool and different. But, of course, the other cities started popping up. And that's when, you know, now it's just so
Well, we have so many friends, all of us. We have so many friends, you know that we all have homes down there. And like Jimmy and Karen, they have a home, you know, down there. And Shane and Michael,
I think Shane and Michael were actually going to sell theirs because they felt like they just relocated. Like all these Nashville people just went from here to there.
Chapter 2.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. So I'm excited for you to be here today. And
I want to,
we're not doing callers today because I wanted to spend this full hour with you.
Oh, that's so
sweet. I want to kind of talk about, you know, you have a child that's in college.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this new album that's out right now. So I want you to talk about that.
Yeah.
And folks, let me tell you something. If it's got her name on it, it's going to be amazing.
Wow, that's
so
sweet.
So let's talk about your album.
I did send you a copy, right? I'm going to give you a physical copy.
Okay.
When I see you next time.
Good.
I'll mail you one.
Good.
But I'm excited. It's my first Christmas album.
Uh-huh.
And in 2020, at the end of the year, after putting out a new album, I thought, I want to do a Christmas song. And which song do I love? And I love the Joni Mitchell song, River. So
yes.
I recorded that and did a video and did it really fast, like in a week. It's pretty acoustic and stripped down with just guitar and cello. And then after that, I was like, I want to keep going. I want to do a whole album. So we recorded, as everyone does, in the summer, like July of 2021. But then my sister passed away in 21, and I was unable. I tried to sing, but I was just so emotional, and I just couldn't get the album finished. So it got pushed into 2022, so that's why it's coming out now. But it's very special. It came out on her birthday, actually, October 21st.
Wow. So can you do you care to share about your sister? I mean, what?
Well, it was, you know, she had struggled basically since we were kids, up and down of, mental illness that was never really diagnosed.
Right.
And I feel like
so many people,
I feel like, you know, my parents did the best job they could, but going through a divorce and everything really kind of set everything on fire, and she struggled with different things, but it was always one of those, oh, you know, she's in a bad mood, or maybe if we do this, she'll be happy. Or if we move here, she'll be happy or get some new friends. So I feel like there were all these years of no one ever really
knowing
saying,
what was going on.
Could there be something else at
right.
the root of this, you know?
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, for her, it, you know, the thing is, I don't think she wanted to face that she had an issue. And so, you know, for years up and down, you know, there were just a lot of bad times and signs. And then she had hyper religiosity, which, you know, led to some delusions and things like that. And I think everything that came in my family you know, in dealing with the grief in different ways.
Yes.
Brought us closer together because we realize how precious family is and how precious life is and how we're not promised another day.
That's right.
But at the time when it first happened too, we all, you know, went through the pain in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be able to see that within the family, because, you know, it took a long time to get through some of the issues. Even afterwards, you feel guilt. You know, you question everything, the shock, the denial,
the anger.
What
could you have
done
better? Everything. Should you have done something different? You know, listen, every family, and we talk about that. You know, we talk about this, Jamie, on Chrissy Confessions all the time because it's a very open platform and we have so many people that come on.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about pain. Mm-hmm. We talk about processing. And, you know, we have dealt with mental illness, you know, in our family. And, you know, I struggled for years with my oldest son and, you know, through one diagnosis after the next and being, you know, incorrectly diagnosed and being given this medicine.
Incorrectly diagnosed. That is a big thing.
Yes.
And also the hospitals, I feel like the sympathy is not there,
it's not there
for patients. This is not a disease that they choose to have. My sister took her own life and it was 2 days after being let go out of a hospital when we begged them to keep her in.
Listen, I've been through that. We, you know, Kyle went through every hospital system, you know, from Emory to Mayo to the Resnick Center, Cedars. You know, we did all the greatest hospitals in the country. And even though you have, thank God we had the financial ability to go to these places to get the kind of care, every place had a different diagnosis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's, let's check them in. Let's maximize what the insurance will cover. And then once the insurance lapses, let's go ahead and put them on a medication that's going to kind of make them lethargic or numb or shut them down and mm-hmm. get them out of here because that bed belongs to somebody else with an insurance premium that can come in.
Right.
And we went through that. And now
it's so sad.
Yes. But, you know, we ended up finding out that Kyle wasn't the things that they were saying. We got him with a great doctor. They said, he's not bipolar.
Mm.
He is not bipolar. He suffers from PTSD.
Mm.
And he functions great now, no medication. But Kyle also Amazing. Tried to take his own life.
Mm.
And thank God that God had a better plan. And, you know, Kyle is doing great. But we refuse to allow there to be, we as a family will not stigmatize mental health.
Absolutely.
Because mental health.
That's the thing. So many people don't want to talk about it. Even some people within my family feel like it's such a negative.
Well, they're ashamed
so
of it.
Well, they also think let's be positive and let's move on, you know, and, you know, Sam's in a better place, which I agree with, you know, she's out of pain and thank God. But still, I think if we don't talk about it, how do we solve things? How is there any kind of reform?
How do you help the next person?
Yeah, how exactly?
Yeah.
So many people struggle and so many people don't want to really know if someone isn't okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I always go back to that saying, it's okay to not be okay.
Okay.
And
right.
to talk to someone and reach out if you need help.
Hey y'all, it's Savannah Chrisley, and I've got a new podcast titled Unlocked. We're creating a space for people to truly be vulnerable. You're used to seeing me having to have this picture-perfect bow on the life that I live, and frankly, that's not who I am. I'm a little wild, I'm a little crazy, and I love really, really hard. I really hope that you'll join me every Tuesday as I bring on friends, family, and some guests that I'm pretty sure you're going to recognize. Listen and follow Unlocked now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app.
Right. Well, I say, and we've used this analogy many times, it's like, okay, if you're diagnosed with cancer, you immediately go and start your treatment and get a treatment plan together and know that it might be something maintenance that I have to continue on and what's going to give me my greatest chance of recovery and outcome. But then when it comes to mental health, we just want to do the bare bones just to get them stabilized and send them on their way.
Right. Or, you know,
absolutely.
You know, or we've seen this because, you know, being in the entertainment industry, I think that entertainers as a whole, there's a large concentration of entertainers that suffer from depression. And, you know, I don't know that I've ever suffered from depression. I don't feel like that I have. Or if I do, I'm too ignorant to recognize it.
Or sometimes you might have a period of sadness that you think, what's wrong with me? You know, like, why can't I pull myself out of this? Right. For us, maybe it's... It's quick. What's the word? It's transient. It's just a phase that we go through.
Right. It's a moment and we get past it.
But it's, if you have that dark cloud
that stays forever
and you don't feel happy, completely happy, no matter what's going on in your life, then to me, it's like there are ways to get help and talking about it does help.
Yes. And, that's why we wanted to have this platform because, you know, again, in the entertainment industry, I can remember, you know, our shows have been hugely successful, and for that, we give the glory to God for that. And our this podcast, I mean, you know, we found out, was it 2 months ago, that our podcast has gone, it has surged.
That's amazing.
In yes. listeners.
That's amazing.
And it has surged in the faith-based groups that are listening to this podcast and that are advertising on it. And I know that when our show started, I would pray and I'd say, God, please let us be in the top five shows this week. Please let the viewers be there. And my daughter said something, Savannah, on her podcast, which is she started a couple of weeks ago, which has like blown up. Like she blew past us on the charts.
Right. And oh, so that's
that is just, and that was just like such a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be beaten, you want to be beaten by your kids.
Yeah. Right. Oh, absolutely. And that's the same way.
Yep. That's Unlocked with Savannah.
Yes. And so she has a podcast called Unlocked. And she soared right past us. And then Lindsay, our other daughter, has a great podcast. Now hers is a lot different, Coffee Combos, than ours, but she has a huge following, larger than ours. But, I would pray for God to make sure that we were in the top five shows. And Savannah said with her producer, Aaron says, you know, I hope that we're in the top whatever. And Savannah says, I'm not praying for that. Mm. She says, I'm praying for God to give me exactly what's mine. Mm.
That's perfect.
And I thought, wow, when I was listening to her podcast yesterday and she said that, I was like, wow. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes, and Julie says this often, she's like, if God's not giving you what you're praying for, it's because God doesn't feel like what you're praying for is enough.
Mm.
And so talking about entertainers, I mean, you know, Savannah had said on her podcast yesterday that a lot of young artists here in Nashville, they kind of view me as the dad of country music. You know, they mm-hmm. come to me and they ask for advice. You know, what should I do with this? Or they'll send me a message. How can I expand in this? Or what do you think I should be doing? And I talk to all these young guys and girls and, you know, try to mentor them in a way that is positive and in a way that I would want someone of my age at 54 to be able to speak to my children if mm-hmm. they came to them. Mm-hmm. But so many of them, Jamie, are struggling with depression.
Yeah.
Depression, and then they get involved with addiction because they're trying to self-medicate.
Well, that definitely comes hand in hand with that.
Yes. And you look at all these people that are so hugely talented, and on the outside, you're like, God, I want to be them. Why couldn't I have been born in to sing like that? Why mm-hmm. couldn't I have been born into a family that's got, you know, three shows and doing this and doing this? And why me? Why couldn't I have that, God? Well, maybe you don't have that because that's not something that God thought he wanted to put on you.
Yeah, that's not the path for you.
And, you know, it's easy to look at because, you know, you, when you were singing, you know, your whole, I mean, listen, y'all were the ladies of country music. You know, you were running with Sarah Evans, you know, Martina McBride, you know, that whole group of women when country music was country music and was amazing. And I say every day, you know, Wynonna, I say every day that these young girls coming up today in country music, know who paved that path for you.
Mm-hmm.
give gratitude to those that paved the road. Mm-hmm. I don't say it for me. I don't say it for these young guys.
Yeah.
Because I still believe that country music is predominantly, is male dominated. Mm-hmm. When you listen to country music on any radio, on the radio, I dare to say you're going to listen to 10 songs by a man before mm-hmm. you get to one by a woman.
Yeah. It's definitely getting, it's getting better. Yeah. Women are breaking through.
Yes.
I think it's really cool right now that there is a want and a need and a nostalgia for 90s country, as they say it, because people are going back to the real sound of it.
Yes.
People love fiddles. They still love steel guitar, no matter what anyone says.
Yes.
And people love that authentic sound that, because when someone comes up to me and says, I sang your songs when I was a little girl, and they're like, you know, 20 years old or something, I think, wow, you know, they're still remembering. But then there's some that are so young, the only way they could know my music is that they're discovering it now.
That's right.
Not because they remember it when it was a hit. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. That,
yes.
That tells me that, you know, we're in a phase right now that really behooves the artist from my era, because look at the Judds Tour.
Yes.
You know? Look at Martina McBride. Look at Sarah Evans. They're mm-hmm. all out there. We're all out. None of
You're
us
still
stopped
working.
Working. We're still working. We're still doing. And I'm actually, this year has been better than the last few years, you
right.
know? So, and I think 2023 is going to be even better.
Well, you know, we were out looking at some property. Was it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday, I think.
Out in Franklin, yeah, 100 and something acres. And I'm in my car and Savannah connects her phone to my car, and I tell them, stop connecting your phone to my car, because I'm sick of every time I get in here, I don't even know how to operate
yeah.
my car to get it to connect to my phone to listen to my music. And Savannah listens to music from all different genres. And she brings up Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man.
Mm.
And I turn and look at her and I said, that's how I raised you.
Yeah.
Give thanks to your daddy right now for making sure that Conway and Loretta is in your life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just lost Loretta, and so I wanted to give that shout out, too, because,
yeah.
you know, I have loved Loretta Lynn my whole life. My daddy loved her. My mom loved her. My whole family did.
Me, too.
And she was the sweetest soul in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I sometimes sit here in Nashville and I see people like you, I talk to people like you, I have you in my phone, and sometimes I just scroll through my phone and I look at the names that are in there and I just say, God, thank you. God, thank you. Because coming from this small little rural town of 2,200 people,
mm-hmm.
you placed me at a table with so many good, God-fearing, soul-filling people. And we just prayed this morning, because Julie and I get up every morning. We get on our knees at our bench in our bedroom and we pray together. And I give thanks to God every day for giving, for bringing good people into our lives.
Absolutely.
And for bringing the bad ones, because then we get to recognize how great the other ones are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And find out how strong you are to get through some of that stuff. You
well,
know?
Listen, you know.
Find out who you really are at your core when you go through these
well,
hard
listen,
times.
Well, listen, I don't, you know, there's no growth. There's no growth in a season where there's no adversity.
Yeah.
Your growth comes
Absolutely.
At your darkest times.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because we're going through it. But your growth comes at your darkest days.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we also believe that, you know, it's almost, and I just said this to Julie yesterday, because you were saying it was about, what was it about the burning? Beauty from Ashes.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about, you know, Beauty from Ashes. And she said, you know, I'm trying to kind of comprehend, because I think that goes a couple of ways. And I said, what God is saying when he says that is that from ashes, he can create something that is beautiful. I said, view it like they do these controlled burns out here with the Forestry Commission. When mm-hmm. they do a controlled burn, they're burning off the top layer so that new growth can come. Mm-hmm. And I says, and that's what I believe is happening with us right now. And mm-hmm. I believe it's happening with so many of our friends right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have friends that have lost everything they've had, you know, and it's hard, Jamie, because, you know, you've lived this life. One day you're at the top.
Yeah.
And you're
up
like,
and down.
And you're like, this is never going to end.
Mm-hmm.
This is where God has placed me, and this is where I'm going to ride until he calls me home.
Mm.
Rarely does anyone ride at the top level for life.
Right. I've always said I would rather be lukewarm for many years than hot and then cold. I said that at the beginning of my career because for me, because I love singing and performing, that's all I want to do. I don't want it to stop. I mean, like I've always said, my husband and I will probably be in Jamaica or Bahamas and I'll be saying, stop the drum machine, stop the, let me stop, you know, because we'll be performing just the two of us with the drum machine saying, hey, anybody out there celebrating a divorce? We're here all week. Because I just want to be singing. I just want to say for the record.
Because it's what you love.
That's what I love. It's what I've always done. It's what I want to continue to do and until they put me in the ground.
Well, and you know, listen, I love what we do. But, you know, I kind of feel like that God is shifting me for a higher purpose. I believe that the content that we create for television now that we're creating at this moment and that moving forward is going to look somewhat different because I believe that God gave us a huge platform and I don't know that we used it to glorify his name in the way that we should have. Mm. So I feel like that going forward, every project that we touch has to glorify God in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at life, you know, listen, life changes you. And you can have all the money in the world because, listen, I come from a very, Julie and I both come from a very rural background, very middle class upbringing. So where we are today is certainly not where anyone ever expected us to be. I don't even know that we ever thought that we would be, you know, where we are today or have what we have or any of that. But what I can tell you is that all of the stuff that we have today, I now realize matters not compared to my relationship with my Lord and Savior and my wife and my marriage and my children and the people that you truly consider to be friends. Mm. Because I had, you know, it's odd the things that you find that are complimentary. You know, it's nice, you know, when you have someone say, oh my God, Jamie, you look so good. That makes you feel good, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when you have someone to say to you in their darkest hour, you have no idea what your friendship has meant to me throughout my life because you were the one consistent person that I knew would never change regardless of what my actions might be. Mm-hmm. That is
the
favor.
That's what's going to make you cry. That's what's going to make you feel it.
And that mm-hmm. and that happened to me the other day. And they said to me, they said, you don't understand, Todd. You've never changed. And even when I had money and I didn't have money, you still were my friend.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I wasn't friends with you, money. I was friends with you.
Yeah.
I was broke when you was broke.
Mm-hmm.
We got rich together.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I look at life so differently today. And I want to be a blessing to people. I want this podcast to be a blessing to people. I want the listeners that are listening right now to go and listen to your album. I want them to be moved by your music.
Me too. I mean, I feel like that's the biggest compliment is if people listen to a song and say, this makes me feel this way, or this made me think of my mom, or, you know, whatever it may be. Because I have a song on my album that's all about my mother-in-law, and we lost her, and she was Christmas. Every year we went to her house, and she did everything for her family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called, Christmas to Me, and it's all about her. And so that I think to myself, I hope people listen and think about people they've lost right. and what they mean to them, especially at Christmas time, because there can be that lonely feeling, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's such a great time of year, but it is all about family. And sometimes there's family members who can't come and then you miss them, you know, like my brother moved to Phoenix. So now we don't see him every Christmas. So that's hard, but. Anyway, to your point, I totally agree. It's what people feel, like Maya Angelou said. They mm-hmm. won't remember what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
That's
and I think that's really true.
We say that all the time. I mean, literally, yeah. I think you said it yesterday on Savannah's podcast on Unlocked. She said, people may not remember you, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Right.
Hey Hey, it's Lindsay Crisley from Coffee Combos, and it's a Crisley family takeover. And if you want the whole story, you have to listen to Coffee Combos, Crisley Confessions, The Southern Tea, and Savannah's new podcast, Unlocked. So listen to, follow, rate, and review now at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app.
You know, it's hard because, you know, our kids were thrown into show business, you know, at an earlier age than what you actually went into show business. And, you know, they were 15, 16 years old. Grayson was five. Mm-hmm. Grayson was five. Mm. And so they are at 25 and 26 and 16, very jaded. You know, because they, you know, they know that just because someone says, oh, I love you so much, doesn't necessarily mean they love you so much.
Yes, that's true.
It may just mean that they love you so much right now because you're an end or an ends to a mean and or a means to an end. And so, you know, I talk to my kids every day and I say, you know, but that's the devil that's putting that in you because there are good people in this world.
Yeah.
And I says, and we serve a God that's not a what if God. The devil works on, but what if? Mm-hmm. But what if this album's not successful? Mm-hmm. But what if you guys are not in the top five shows next week? What if your numbers drop? But if you, that's the devil, but if you're listening to God, God is saying to you that I am all the power. I can change everything for you with a blink of an eye. Mm. You know, I'm here to prosper
and
you, not to
harm you. And if you're doing it for the right reasons, I mean,
then it should work.
My thing is, I don't have anything to lose. I'm putting out,
that.
I'm putting out music because I want to do it. I don't have a big record deal or I'm not going for radio ads. I'm putting out music because I love it and I hope other people want to hear it. But at the same time, I'm still going to do it either way because at this point, I'm not afraid of failure. I've had failure. I've had ups and downs and successes and failures and I'm going to keep going. You know, that's what we have to do is keep going no matter what.
I live by what you just said when you said I'm not afraid of failure. Mm. Because how many times have you heard me say, I'm not afraid of failing. Yeah, I have failed before.
Yeah.
But my comeback has always been greater than my setback.
Mm, that's a good one.
And so.
Let me get that tattooed over
here. My comeback.
Let me write that down.
Because when you think about it, all the setbacks that we've had has really just been a setup for a better comeback.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that if it didn't work, it wasn't right. Mm. I believe that. If it didn't work, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've got a failed first marriage, you know, which, you know.
You mean your starter marriage. Yeah. We all have one. Well, I don't have one of those, but my husband has an ex, so.
Yeah, well, I had, you know, I had a bad starter. Like there was no ingredients in my starter kit. But, you know, I had two children from that marriage, and I look back, and I've never considered that in my life that I've ever been married to anyone other than Julie. Because Julie has been a woman of faith, a wonderful wife, an excellent mother, a phenomenal daughter to my parents, which is huge. You know, you're sitting here talking about your mother-in-law and that you wrote this song, Christmas for Me, is about your mother-in-law. Mm. Julie was literally sitting at the table the other day and said to Savannah, she said, I don't know what I will do when something happens to Faye. She said, because I love her like I do my own mother. Mm. I'm that close to her. That's a blessing.
That's something now, we don't want to think about.
No, but you know, my mother's 78 and my mother is battling cancer right now. Mm, and so, you know, we do, that reality is something that we're dealing with. And to know that you marry someone that has been that good in all areas is a blessing. And sometimes I don't think we recognize our blessings because everything is going so great that you don't think it's ever going to change. Mm-hmm. But I have always said, if you don't tend to your garden, everything will die. Mm-hmm. You have to feed what you're trying to grow.
Right.
And you have to keep the weeds out.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there's a lot of weeds in entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, I told Chase, I said, these streets are full of hoes. I said, you got to know what you're dealing with. Now, thank God he's just got engaged to a wonderful girl that we're in love with. And
oh, that's great.
And she is a young woman. She's a young woman of faith, and we're blessed to have Emmy in our family. And, you know, she's just a, she's been wonderful for him. And it's wonderful to look at your child with someone and you see the growth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's when you know that God's got his hands on that.
I have not had to deal with the dating yet for my daughter. She's 19, but being at college and also going for a music career, of course we wanted her to do anything but.
Right.
But even after the ups and downs she's seen, and like you said, you've raised your kids in the eye of being in the business. She was on a tour bus as a baby and doing it her whole life and coming out on stage with us. So now that's all she wants to do. You know, and it's
but she has a
like,
new song coming out.
She does, yes.
And what's that song?
October 28th, which is this Friday. It's called Ending of a First Love.
And what's that about?
She wrote it by herself. About, you know, someone she had to come to terms with that, you know, hey, I'm in this pain and I've had friends who are in this pain of a heartbreak. And hey, it's not the end of the world. It's just the ending of a first love. And so she wrote it by herself, which is really cool.
Oh, my gosh.
I love the ending of a first love. I have to literally, when I finish today, I'm going to go and listen to it.
Yes, I would love you to hear it. Well, I'm excited for her. And it's a journey. I mean, like you were saying, when people come to you and they ask for your advice mm-hmm. in this industry, what do you do? And it's depressing and it's up and down. It's never been more easy in a way for people to be discovered and to put themselves out there, I guess, mm-hmm. and be vulnerable and put it on TikTok and put it on Reels. But at the same time, because there that's social media and there's so much comparison.
Yes.
Compare and despair.
Yes.
That's what I always say to Aaliyah.
Yes.
Because do your own thing, carve your own path. You'll find your people who like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't copy someone else. You just have to figure out, because she's a certain personality that doesn't love, you know, putting things out there all the time. She said, I feel like I'm being annoying and I don't want to harass people. But when you're DIY, you have to promote yourself, unfortunately.
That's right.
So you have to learn how to be good at something that is not necessarily comfortable to do
yes.
on a regular basis, because it's all about content and all that kind of thing. So she's learning as she goes. But like back to the original thing. If all you want to do is sing and all you want to do is music, and when you wake up in the morning, that's again all you want to do, and it's like a burning, you just have to do it and mm-hmm. put it out there.
That's right.
And see what happens.
Right. And I think there's so many people in this world and so many people listening to this podcast that are in jobs that they hate because of the fear of stepping out into what their passion really is.
Yeah, that's sad, because you really do. Life is too short to not do what you love.
I was talking to a young man who's a big country artist, you know, here in Nashville. He's had some struggles. And I was talking to him, I think it was maybe Thursday or Friday of last week. And he had reached out to me. And I told him, he was talking about social media. And I said, no, it's social suicide.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's no longer social media. It's social suicide. Because people are looking at social media and trying to hold themselves to that standard. When that standard is something someone created with a filter
mm-hmm.
and with a lie.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, Savannah gets on to me all the time because I won't use filters. She said, Daddy, you need to use filters. She said, because you need to go have your eyes done. And she just said that, what was it, a week or so ago? She said, it's time for you to have your eyes done. I said, don't worry about my eyes. I said, God lets me see out of them every day. I don't wear glasses. I'm 54.
Yeah.
I said, so I'm not worried about it right now.
Look at my Coke bottle glasses.
And I'm like, so I'm not worried about it anymore. And I said to this young man, I said, let me tell you something. You're holding yourself to a standard that 90% of the time is not even that person's real. You know, you have.
Well, look at Chris Stapleton or Luke Combs. I mean, I don't think they're running around getting a filter and worried about anything. You know why people love them? For their soul, for their God-given talent.
That's
which
right.
Yes.
When you have talent, it is God-given, and there's
Amen.
Nothing. That's why, you know, being idolized to me is so crazy, because we are lucky that we, and blessed that we have a God-given talent.
Absolutely.
That, what we're supposed to do with it is give back and put it out there. And so the reason that the fans love people like Chris Stapleton and Luke Combs and people who are real like that is that it's their soul on display.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to create anything fake or do something to get numbers TikTok or right. whatever, you
and
know.
And I think that's why Savannah's Unlocked has done so well, because all the reviews are like, I've never listened to a podcast that's this raw.
That's fantastic. That's filled, I can't wait to hear
that's
it.
That's filled with such emotion and honesty.
Well, have you got an in so I can try to get in on this podcast?
Oh, you can absolutely. You need to.
Yes, I would love to talk to her.
You need to go on her podcast, because Savannah does talk a lot about mental health. She just posted a thing last night about men and mental health, and that it's okay to cry. It's okay to reach out and say you need help, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Savannah's a huge advocate for that. And so absolutely you should be on Unlocked. But I think that, you know, when you look at it, and I said to this young man, I said, let me tell you something. You're looking at her pictures and she's posting a picture in a bathing suit and she's on this island somewhere and she's posting for a swimsuit ad. Mm. But what you don't know is that she took that picture and it took everything she had in her to get out there and take that picture to make you think that she's living a great life and everything's good with her.
Right.
When I know for a personal fact that I just spoke to her 2 weeks ago and she's mentally falling apart. Mm-hmm. But we as a people, as a member of society, we care more about you viewing us favorably than we do about you viewing us as real. Mm. And I don't care if you favor what I'm saying. I care that you respect that I have the right to say it, and that I'm coming from a place in my heart that is not to harm you, but to help you. Because mm-hmm. if I can't hurt you, I don't want to help. If I can't help you, I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah.
But I look at life in general, and I say this to our kids because, you know, I get so frustrated sometimes, Jamie, that I want them to be where I am. And I forget that I wasn't where I am today at 25.
You were their age, yeah.
And so I've had to kind of like say, God, slow me down, slow my expectations down. Mm-hmm. Don't make me make them rush through life.
I know. I feel the same emotions sometimes, because you want everything for your kid.
Yes.
And your children are an extension of yourself, is the way it feels. But really they're not. You know, they're their own people.
Yes.
And they do have a totally different way of feeling something and looking at something and where they're going towards. And I think there has to be a little bit of that letting go, which is, I think, the hardest thing. I mean, my daughter she's in her freshman year. And I think the letting go is not just good for her, but it's
for
good
you,
for me.
Julie. Mm. This is what Steve, our therapist, is saying. Absolutely. About a God moment. What did I just say to Savannah? Mm-hmm. What was it, a week ago? Yeah.
You said, I'm gonna stop asking, who have you talked to?
Yeah,
where have you been? What are you doing? You know, every little detail, because honestly, it's running him crazy.
Right.
And she needs to figure some of these things out on her own.
And you know what, Jamie? I have gotten to a place at this point that I just don't think it's any of my business.
Yeah. And I
at
feel
25,
like
I no longer feel like it's
tired
my business.
Of asking 20 questions. It's like now if she calls me, I just say, hey, tell me what's going on, or tell me what's, you know, what's the latest.
Yes.
But I try not to be, like you said, question number one, question number two, question number three, because A, it's exhausting for
yes.
us.
It wears me out mentally.
If I don't call my daughter, by the way, she's like, what's going on? You know, like, well, if a day goes by.
We've never had that.
I'm like, I am so sorry because I'm super busy. She's like, you didn't answer me back. Did you listen to my song? Did you read my lyrics? Did you hear what I said about so-and-so that's dating so-and-so? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. It's been a crazy day. And she's like, what? No time for moi?
Right. Well, you know, Savannah, all of my kids, every morning before I go to bed at night, I send a text message to each of them, not in a group, independently. Mm-hmm. And I say, good night. I love you. And I'm praying for you. Mm-hmm. And I do. I close my evening out with prayer. I wake up in the morning, because Julie's always felt like that, you know, we go into prayer first thing in the morning because you want to give God a fresh start. What you're starting the day with. Mm-hmm. And every morning I get a text message from my kids saying, good morning. Well, I got a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's a lot of texts.
Right. And so, you know, the problem is that we go into prayer normally around 7 o'clock, which Savannah talks about on her podcast, that I know that my dad's not going to respond to me at this time because they're in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as soon as I'm out of prayer, I'm getting 90 other phone calls or 90 other texts. And then Savannah will be the first to come back with like 9 question marks because I didn't come back and say good morning to her good morning. And mine and her conversation is so much different starting the day than what my conversation is with Chase or with Lindsay or with Kyle, you know, or with Grayson. And, you know, you were talking about God-given gifts. You know, Grayson is hugely talented academically, but also athletically.
Mm.
And he's an amazing baseball player. You know, we get letters, 4 and 5 letters a week from schools around the country, you know, wanting him to come tour their campus, wanting him to come to clinics, wanting to come and watch him play. And, you know, he's always said, I'm going to be in the MLB. And I said, well, what if you're not in the MLB? I said, you know, that's really like, you know, in the 1 percentile that's going to happen. He said, it's also in the 1 percentile that you get to be on television.
He doesn't want to know about your what ifs.
No, because that's what he said. He said, I don't live, Daddy, on what ifs.
Hmm.
And I said, well, then let's not live on a what if. Let's live with a backup plan. I said, so if we don't hit the MLB, what happens? He says, then I'm going to be a sports commentator for ESPN. And I says, and then if that doesn't happen, and he says, you know, because, you know, we are conservative. He says, well, then I guess I'm going to be a commentator for some news channel. He says, I'm going to deal with people. But I looked at him out in the garage one day because he was having a moment and he was hoping to get on this ball team and he had really wanted to be on it so bad because it's like some of the best kids in Tennessee. He said, but what if, I said, we don't do what ifs. I said, if you don't make that team, God's got a better plan. And I remember putting my hand on his heart and saying, what God placed in your heart was a gift. And I says, it's an insult to God if we don't nurture the gift that he gives us, if we don't use it to glorify his name. And he sent me a text message later on that day, and he said, you don't understand how much it meant to me with what you said and how you put your hand on my heart. And he quoted what I had said to him the day before. He said, something that you told me in scripture about why borrow problems from tomorrow when today has a sufficient amount of its own.
Yeah.
He says, and I live by that now. That's helped me. It's given me such
peace.
How old is
he?
16. He's in there at the kitchen counter right now with his teacher.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Van Maul, host of I Survived. If you enjoy I Survived, we are excited to announce a new launch. Starting November 15th, we'll be reposting our classic episodes from season 1 of I Survived. We hope to reach a whole new audience with these important stories of survival. And for those of you who have been with us since the beginning, we think these powerful episodes warrant another listen. Starting November 15th, look out for those episodes and more news from I Survived.
You know, I do think that we have to nurture the gifts that God gives our children and within ourselves.
Yeah.
And I also think that sometimes we start thinking that God has given us a gift, and that's really not the gift that God gave us. I think we convince ourselves that it's a gift that God has given us, because not everyone's a Jamie O'Neill. Not everyone's a Todd Chrisley, and I'm sure there's a lot of people grateful that they're not Todd Chrisley. But, you know, not everyone is meant to do what they want to do.
Right.
But everyone's meant to do what God wants them to do. And I think that you have to step into being more in sync with what God wants us to do, not what we want to do, and then asking God to bless us with something that was never meant, that was never intended for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was never intended to be Brad Pitt, even though I thought I was going to be.
Oh, Brad Pitt.
you know, I was.
You said the one name. If anybody ever asked me, who to you is like the, you know, guy from all those years ago to now, it's just Brad Pitt all along, all the way.
And Julie's is total opposite of that. It's always going to be Kevin Costner for her.
Oh, really?
It's always.
And you probably interviewed him too.
Let me tell you, here's the irony of this. I was coming out of, All 3? in LA.
Maybe.
When I ran into him. And it's just a quick story. Kevin was partners with this gentleman that I found out about or became acquainted with about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
About 3 years ago. And I just, and we just lost him, you know, several months ago, but they were partners and I was there for a meeting and Kevin was there for a meeting to, with a production company. And we were walking out and I was walking with the head of that, of all three at that time. And, he walked by and he spoke to him, that guy that I was with spoke to Kevin and he goes, I go to bed every night hearing your voice and I wake up every morning hearing your voice because my wife listens, watches the reruns of your show. And I'm like, this is Kevin Costner. This, oh my God.
And Julie wasn't there.
And she, I wasn't there.
But I told him, I said, you understand that you're the only get out of jail card for my wife. And he started laughing. And then I reminded him of, I said, we have someone in common. And I mentioned this person's name. And he was blown away that we had that connection. But
do you do the thing, sorry to interrupt you, but where you FaceTime when you're with that person, the person you know would want to meet them? Because I do have a funny story about that.
I don't. I don't, because I feel like.
Because it's been done to you so many times.
Yes.
Oh, on the spur of the moment.
I don't, because I feel like I would never ask you to do that, because I feel like that your time is so valuable and that you are already giving up so much of your personal life just by stepping outside your front door. So
well,
I have
just
never,
so you know, I would never have a problem. I've never had a problem with anyone coming up to me and wanting a photo or a phone call to a friend at that time, unless I'm like boarding a flight.
Time.
If I'm boarding a flight that's going to take off, But I mean, we all have that extra 2 minutes to get on the phone and make someone's day.
I have never said no.
I'll bet you Kevin wouldn't have minded talking to Julie. If it happens again,
he cheated me out of that.
Right. Well, I'm not going to introduce her to my competition, the thing that she loves more than me.
Oh well, there you go. I see. I see the reasoning now. And the jealousy,
right?
Oh
and,
yeah.
You know, but I was. We have had so many people. I mean, when I tell you, we've been blessed with the number of people that actually want to come up to us and speak to us. And I welcome that. I sign the autograph. I take the picture. I do draw the line of the FaceTiming. If I'm sitting at a dinner table or I'm boarding a flight or I've got a group of people that we're trying to get through an airport or we're trying to get through somewhere to get to the next, you know, next photo shoot or whatever, I have to say, I'm so sorry, I can't do it right now. Can we just take a picture?
Yeah,
and,
I get that.
And then I move on. But I have, I mean, Jamie, we have people that come to our door at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to have security.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I've had a couple of those, and it can be a little scary.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you're not sure how they got your address, and there they are at your door. And I mean, we've all had, you know, heard terrible stories.
Yes. And I mean, you know, our daughter Savannah has been under 24-hour round-the-clock security for a long time because of this stalker situation.
Mm.
And, you know, they come to
She's
our
such
door.
A beautiful girl.
They come to our door at 11, 12 o'clock at night, ringing the doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you deal with that? You know, you don't want to be rude. But then I got to a point to where I would say to her, I said, no. If they don't think it's rude to ring someone's doorbell at 11 and 12 o'clock at night, why should I be ashamed to go and answer my door and say, can I help you? Oh, my God, we love you so much. Can I get a picture? No, you cannot. It's 11:30 at night.
Right. And that's a boundary crossed. You wouldn't even do that to someone that wasn't a celebrity.
No.
Right.
And, how would you feel if I came to your door at 12 o'clock at night?
Oh, well, no, I'd be like, come on in.
Yeah. But, you know, if someone's ringing your door at 12 o'clock at night,
weird.
The first thing
it's
you think of is, oh, my God, something's wrong.
Yeah.
There's
exactly.
something wrong. Who's not? Who's ringing your doorbell at 12 o'clock at night?
Right.
And so we have so many people, and it was just the other day I was at, I have this place that I go to that everyone in my family is sick of me. They wish I'd never found. It's called Greco's. It's this Greek restaurant. And I go there three
what?
And four.
Here in Nashville?
Yes.
Is it a real Greek restaurant? Does it have Saganaki?
Yes, it does.
Where is it?
It's,
I've been waiting
East
for this
Nashville.
Restaurant my whole life.
So. It's
of course
Nashville.
It would have to be East Nashville, like an hour's drive to get it. But I'm going.
I'm going
Thank
there today.
Thank you, Todd.
And so literally I'll send a text message to Chase and Savannah and I'll say, who's taking me to lunch tomorrow? And Savannah will say, I'm not going to Greco's again. You've been twice this week. And then Chase is like, Daddy, I'll take you to Greco's. I don't care, because Chase just eats anything. Chase is like, I'll take you to Greco's. I don't care. And then Savannah comes back, fine, I'll just go to Greco's, because Savannah can't stand to be outdone.
Right.
So it's like a competition with them. And I love that they compete for my time.
I love that too. That's so sweet.
But you know, it is so.
And I see my dad, by the way, out there. He's picking me up, and I just saw him circle around. My dad to the rescue, because as you know, flat tire today. So here's
does that tell you how
sweet dad.
How blessed that is that you even this woman has a flat tire on the way to do this podcast with us, then has to get Uber, then get stuck in construction traffic, and you're messaging me, and I said, we're good. We're sitting here waiting on you. People wait for Jamie O'Neill.
No, that's
not
true.
Like thank I was going to say, okay, you know what, Jamie?
I was sweating it. I'm like, I'm going to be canceled. We all worry when we're going to be canceled, right?
Like I don't live in the cancel culture.
I don't either.
You can't. God cancels me, not people.
Yes.
Networks don't cancel me. Municipalities don't cancel me. God cancels me. And when God cancels me, it's because he's got something better he's getting ready for me to do.
Yeah.
So, name of your album.
Spirit and Joy.
Spirit and Joy. It's out now.
Yes.
And then your daughter's song.
Ending of a First Love.
And that comes out when?
This Friday, the 28th.
Ending of a First Love.
Aaliyah Good.
I love that. I want you to come back, and I want to do a Zoom with her.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I want to have her back on here, and I want her to go on Unlocked with Savannah.
Yes.
Because that's that age group, and Savannah can talk to her about college and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because I believe
lots
that it takes a village to raise a child. So
absolutely. Thank you so much, Todd. Thank you,
Jamie,
Julie.
We love you. It's an honor to have you every time you're on, and I look forward to having you again.
I can't wait. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. And to all of you who listen every week to Chrisley Confessions, who watch Chrisley Knows Best, who watch Growing Up Chrisley, and who's interested in all the new projects that we have coming. We thank you very much, and until next week, good luck and God bless.
This month, celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month with Pluto TV. Watch movies like Compadres in the Spy Kids trilogy, or your favorite stars like Luis Gerardo Méndez in Camino a Marte. Plus, Pluto TV has thousands more movies and TV shows and over 45 channels in Spanish, all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.